You're listening to DraftKings Network.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Welcome to Oddball. I'm Charlotte Wilder. That's Amin Alhassan. And we have so much to get to, Amin. We have such a great show. We are first going to play Odd One Out. This is a game. We interrupt this program to share the breaking news that LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers have been eliminated by another Jamal Murray game winner. The Nuggets have defeated the Lakers 108-106 and won the series 4-1. A gentleman's sweep, Amin.
That's right, Charlotte. And by the way, just want to point out to all Laker fans everywhere, Sadel 3's not walking through that door. Eldon Campbell's not walking through that door. And Corey Blunt's not walking through that door to save your season. It is over. And I just want to point out something, Charlotte. Where everyone starts pointing fingers at whose fault it is or whatever. I called this way. I think it was one of the early episodes of Oddball where
really?
I said, yeah, everyone was so excited for the Lakers offseason. Oh, they signed so-and-so and D'Lo came back and so-and-so signed for such-and-such. And I said, guys, let's just assume that the best version of all these people that you signed show up. The Cam Reddishes and the Jackson Hayes and stuff like that. Is this team better than the Nuggets right now? No. Are they better than the Suns right now? No. And I began listing off teams. I started counting out teams in the Western Conference. And at some point, I got to 6. And I said, so they're not better than any of these 6 teams. Guess what that means? It means they're a play-in team. And so how much, which is what they were last year, how much improvement really has happened? And so all season long, there have been these outside expectations, even believe it or not, even as the playoffs began, even as they're about to face the team that had beaten them 8 billion times in a row, there's still these outside expectations that, oh, the Lakers can go on a run. Like, no, they can't. They're not a good team. And now today, everyone wakes up shocked that they got knocked. Yes, this is exactly what was supposed to happen. They were a mediocre team that made it to the first round of playoffs and got their head caved in by a better team.
I also think that the news of that Athletic article that Shams Charania wrote, where it was like, you know, maybe Trae Young. It's like, Trae Young's not the answer. Trae Young, yeah, Trae Young and Bronny James, that's not going to get you a championship, Amin.
Well, exactly. Like, if you're saying, hey, maybe we can make it to the second round next year. Maybe we can make it out of the play-in. Okay, yeah, maybe I think Trae Young and Bronny James can help. But if you're about winning a championship, this is not a championship roster. And this goes out, by the way, to everyone who's, oh, Darvin Ham. It's funny to me, every time the Lakers lose, I see a million like, Darvin Ham did this. I'm like, no, Darvin Ham didn't do this to you. You're just not good. You're all right. Nah, man, you're not good enough to beat the defending champs. No coach in the world could have taken this roster there.
Yeah, and no coach in the world can really truly coach when LeBron James is also sort of really truly coaching. Like, I think that that is a tricky situation to be in.
It's been Eric Spoelstra and Ty Lue, who many consider are the two best coaches in the game. So I guess what you're saying is like, yeah, if we hire the best coach in the game, then it'll work. Otherwise, it won't. That doesn't make sense. But and I know we had our contractual obligations to talk about LeBron one more time. And, you know, who knows? Are they going to draft Bronny, whether he's played his last game as a Laker, as Kerry Champion tweeted the other day. But I want to get into the Celtics. Boy, those injuries. How about that, Charlotte?
I'm getting word that we need to throw this back to Charlotte and Amin. Actually, no time for that. What? That was unbelievably weird. Okay. Anyway, it's time for On One Out. Amin, you know how this game works. We have 5 minutes for topic one, four for topic two, blah, 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 blah. Last topic is the On One Out that we just don't get to. Shall we do it?
Yes.
Okay. Door number one. What do we have? Oh, can the New York Knicks end Philly's playoff hopes tonight? I mean, you know what happened last night. Last game, Brunson set the Knicks playoff scoring record in game four, 47 points. Knicks fans absolutely lost their minds in Philly. Check this out. I mean, when I saw that, I thought that MSG had a watch party until I realized that that was actually Philadelphia.
That was Wells Fargo Center. That wasn't just the city of Philadelphia. That was the actual arena. They also chanted, as you probably saw in that caption, F Embiid, which means congratulations, Joel Embiid. You've reached Trae Young levels of hate.
Yeah, it's sick.
People going nuts outside here, stomping on stuff. Charlotte, it's funny. I can actually remember when I was in college in Atlanta, I went to Knicks Hawks at the Georgia Dome at the time, because they're still building the new arena. And I witnessed the Knicks sweeping the Atlanta Hawks as an 8 seed.
Yeah.
And everybody went nuts. And I was one of those people. I grabbed a broom and I danced around the concourse, and there was thousands of Knicks fans dancing with me. Everyone trying to grab the broom and stuff. And then the next year I went to go work for the Hawks. So.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Sunrise, sunset.
Yeah. How the turns table. You know who else who turns tabling? Embiid. Here's what he had to say.
I'm not calling him out, but it is disappointing. Kind of pisses me off, especially because Philly is considered a force town. So, you know, they've always shown up, and I don't think that should happen.
He's disappointed at the fans for allowing Knick fans to buy up tickets, show up and show out. And it's funny, Charlotte, because I'm trying to think, okay, he's disappointed in the fans. What do you think the fans are disappointed in?
I don't know. Maybe the guy who in the fourth quarter had 1 point, went 0-for-5 and was 1-of-2 for free throws. Like, it is so astonishing to me. I mean, how poorly Embiid's handling everything that's happening to him publicly right now. All you have to say is, we didn't deliver. I'm sorry to our fans. I hope that they'll bring it for us because we promised to bring it for them. But instead, he says he's disappointed in the fans.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, a poor choice of words. And I get it. It's after a tough loss, but.
Yeah,
man, they've been thoroughly outplayed in three out of four games. And even that fourth game, you could argue the Knicks could have won that game as well. And I get he's dealing with a lot. He's got a bum leg. He's got the Bell's palsy and all that. But it just like Charlotte said, you reflect it back on yourself. Hey, we've got to do better. Everyone's got to do better. You can't use the word disappointed when you're down 3-1 in the series. It's not their fault you're down 3-1 in the series.
No, you can't. And it's sort of the opposite of what the Knicks are doing right now. I mean, what's so fascinating to me about the Knicks is I think because we've been conditioned for decades to think of them as a team that's like not going to get it done. Every time they're down, it's this feeling of like, oh man, all right, well, I guess that's it. And then they just keep fighting. They keep coming back. And that's something you can't teach. Like Tom Thibodeau, it's always tricky, has finally found players who like subscribe to the same school of thought he does, which is that you just don't give up. They're conditioned to play 48 minutes. They're ready to go. And it's been
amazing to watch. They just don't go away. And Embiid is, he gets tired, and Philly gives them an inch and they take a mile at the end of these games.
You can't teach it, but you can certainly acquire it bit by bit, trading away the guys who don't fit, bringing in guys who do fit. Charlotte, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Because I'm in a very famously in a Knicks group chat with a lot of family members and friends from New York, mm-hmm. and they are incensed. Like I said, you saw the video, F you, Joel Embiid video that the fans are chanting. They really think this dude is the dirtiest man alive, and he is a villain, and he is awful and a bad human being. This is not my words. This is the Knicks fans. Is that coming across to you two, or is it just the bubble of my Knicks fan chat?
It is not just you. I mean, watching with Knicks fans and being married to one, Joel Embiid is public enemy number one in my household and in this city. And there were all of these TikToks just flooding my feed of these dirty, quote, dirty plays from the past that Embiid has done. I feel like Draymond better watch his back, because Embiid is coming for his throne.
Draymond, how about Trae Young? He's like, that used to be me. They used to chant my name.
Once it's gone, you miss it.
Yep. All right, what's next? What do we got behind door number two? Show it to me. Give it to me. Oh! One, two, three, Cancun.
Woo!
The Suns season is over. I witnessed both of those losses at Footprint Center, and mere minutes after the game, the blame game articles all came out. We got Shams Charania for The Athletic. This story that KD, quote, never felt comfortable with his role. Okay. And we got the quote right there on the screen that is far too small of a print for me to be able to read. But Charlotte, is KD to blame? Is this all his fault?
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. I mean, you are very close to this organization. You go to a lot of these games. People are blaming Kevin Durant. But what is your read on the situation? Is he culpable? Like what's going on?
I thought he had a great game four, as did Devin Booker. Both of those guys did everything they could to ensure victory. It was a close game. And by the way, it was a game that was close because they finally did the thing that they hadn't done for three games, which is go small. Mm-hmm. Play with Durant at the five, play with Okogie at the five, put pressure on Rudy Gobert to have to guard out in space. And they never did that through three games. They just kept playing Drew Eubanks and Nurkic, and that just made life easier. But all of this highlights the bigger point, which is no matter how good Durant and Booker are, this isn't pickup ball. This is... people are devising schemes and strategies, and you have to respond in kind. And the Suns didn't do that. And part of that was strategic. I don't think Frank Vogel did that for them in this series. But the other part of it is personnel. The roster outside of those three guys and maybe Grayson Allen wasn't very good, and they were hamstring. And by the way, this is exactly what the collective bargaining agreement was designed to do. Oh, you like your team? I hope you like it a lot, because you're not going to make it any better. And so even a great player like Kevin Durant, to me, needs infrastructure, needs not only good teammates, but a structure and a organizational belief in how we're going to do things. And without that, you've just got guys playing pickup ball, which is what it looked like for much of the four games in this series.
Yeah, I also think, I mean, that the other side of that coin is how important buy-in is you need to have a team that believes in the collective mission. You need to have set expectations. You need to have guys who know their roles, which was literally the thing everyone was talking about before the season started. They were like, well, weird that the Suns don't have a point guard, and the Suns were like, yeah, but look at all these shiny players we do have. And it's like, well, if people don't know what they're supposed to be doing, and if there's not a collective sense of we are doing this together as a group, we have each other's backs, there's fire there. I saw absolutely none of that in body language from any of the Suns.
Charlotte, they were down six with about 40 seconds to go. That's 2 3-pointers. It's the NBA, right? The NBA 2024. Threes happen all the time. And everyone in the building knew that's it. They're done. Like they didn't have, there was no kind of transformational, motivational leadership on the bench. Nobody kind of riling everybody up. Come on, we got this or whatever. No Udonis Haslam, like screaming at everybody. It was just kind of like this hangdog attitude. And it was kind of disappointing to see, and also kind of just pretty fitting. Again, like, you know, you talk about, by the way, how important buy-in is. I still remember how close Tom Thibodeau was to getting fired in New York. And then he made the decision, I'm going to play the guys that I want to play, that I think embody the way we want to play. And ever since then, the Knicks have been so much better. And in the offseason, they went out and got more guys who buy in. And look at them now.
Yeah, and clearly they don't have that in Phoenix. And that is a massive problem, because going forward, they are locked into this. And
it's hard to fix.
It might be just really depressing there for a little while. Sorry, that's not very hopeful. But, you know, it is what it is. We're gonna move on. What's behind door number three? Anthony Edwards. Oh, here it is. Talk about buy-in. The Timberwolves completed a sweep of the Suns, as we said, on Sunday. This was the third series win and first sweep in franchise history. The first win in the playoffs in 20 years. Anthony Edwards, talk about buying in. I mean, he had 40 points in game four. But to me, what was most impressive was how he took over. Also, just from a leadership standpoint, like afterwards, a press conference with him and Karl Anthony Towns, where someone asked Kat a question and Ant just goes, no, listen, we won because of Kat. He's great. But it's because I said, you have to stop fouling. And they were sort of joking about it. And it made it clear that this is a team sport. This isn't personal. Like, there's accountability. Do your job. Like, Anthony Edwards says to Kat, you've got this. You're one of our best players. You're the reason we win. And you just have to clean up a few things. And like, that's life. It's not like, hey, you did something wrong. It was gorgeous to see.
It was. And it's a two-way street, Charlotte, because in order for Anthony Edwards to be able to do that, Karl Anthony Towns has to accept that I am no longer the franchise player. I am no longer the face of the franchise. That's the guy now. And that's a lot harder than people think it is. A lot of guys are fighting tooth and nail. Like, hold on now. I've been here for how many years? And Like, I give him infinite credit for looking across the locker room and seeing that guy. Like, oh, yeah, no, I'm not that. He's that guy. And that's part of, like, in order to lead, you have to have people who will follow. And so kudos to him. And everything that we talked about, the Suns not having that structure and that belief and all that, the Timberwolves do have it. I mean, this is a team. Look, their coach got carted off last night, blew up his knee. Everybody was there in the tunnel, kind of high-fiving the front office staff. I was there as they came off the floor. This is a team that has a lot of togetherness. And look, they've got a date here in the second round that probably isn't going to go their way. But this is how progress works. This is how progress happens. You said it yourself. This is their only third series win in franchise history.
Yeah.
Like,
I also think that this is a real, like, this weekend actually felt like a real changing of the guard moment. Like, it was shocking. All I did all weekend was watch basketball, and my mind was blown at, like, oh my God, look what Brunson did. Oh my God, look what Ant did. It's clear that there are new guys here who are taking over, and Ant is finally starting to have that narrative of, like, oh, I think this is the guy. Like, I think this is the guy. And we said this in the beginning of the season, that doesn't start until the playoffs. And next year, people will be talking about the Wolves the way they were talking about the Nuggets, even if the Nuggets go on to beat them, because, to be honest, it's probably not going to be the Lakers. I mean,
he's the guy. He is the guy. And make no mistake about it, and he's done it every single year he's been in the playoffs. His first playoff, I saw him play, and I was like, oh, shit. Like, he's not scared at all, and things are going to change in Minnesota.
I love it.
All right. What door number four? I'm not good at counting anymore. Charlotte's Mavs in five has a little needle poked into it, and that balloon farts out. Now we're Mavs in six.
Set the scene.
No, I mean, because the Clippers were up huge in game four, and then the Mavs make this miraculous comeback on Sunday, but not quite enough in the tank to pull all the way through. So we're tied at 2-2. Charlotte, your reaction as the Mavs nearly completed a 31-point comeback to keep Mavs in five alive. Take us inside Charlotte Wilder's Sunday as he's watching. At first, like, oh my God, this was a dumb prediction. And then you're seeing them come back. And like, oh my God, is it happening?
I had this premonition. When I said it, I really did believe it. I was like, this is an insane thing to say, but I believe it. I think it's going to happen. I'm watching the Mavs and I'm like, oh my God, it could happen. I was like about to text everyone, like, make sure we have that clip ready, blah, blah, blah. And then they lost. And I was like, you know what I mean? I'm going to lay my take to rest, and I'm going to lay it to rest with a lot of respect, because high risk takes high reward. If you're not making them, why are you in this business?
No risk it, no biscuit. Charlotte, is this the most compelling series in the playoffs right now?
I mean, I think Knicks Sixers is...
Yeah, me too. Me too. I was like, right? The hell with that. I know this series is tied and we don't know who's going to win it. That.
I'm like, Sixers, I don't really care about anything but Knicks Sixers right now.
Yep, me too. That's the playoffs right there for me. That's all the playoffs.
All right, speaking of another game, we're not sure... people, I mean, people care about this. Sorry, that's rude. What do we have behind door number five? Pacers Bucks. Yeah. This is just sad. This is just depressing. Yeah. Bucks face elimination tonight against the Pacers. Giannis and Dame didn't play game four. Are the Bucks going to Cancun tonight? I mean,
man, look, at this stage, it's just hard. I think I saw the stat this weekend. Teams without their top two scorers have lost 12 consecutive playoff games.
Mm.
Look, I get it. Hard and tough and all that stuff. The thing isn't designed to do without your best players, unless you have an insane kind of track record like Miami of like just overcoming wild
next
odds.
Next man up.
Next man up, all that stuff. Milwaukee doesn't have that. This whole season has been jumbled and fragmented. Sadly,
by the way, do you see that lower third?
Who does Doc Rivers blame for this? I mean, it's going to be the injuries. I mean, it's hard to win without your best players. I thought we had a really good chance when everybody was healthy, and then they weren't. So, you know, we're going to go back and look at the drawing board. We'll have a strong offseason. And also, Pat Bev, you just got cooked by Halliburton there in game three. What were you doing? Or game four. What are you doing?
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to Oddball. We're going to play a fun game. Everybody knows, or if you don't, you're about to, that Magic Johnson is the best person on Twitter, not because he tries to be smart or witty, but because he just tweets straight up obvious and fact-based things like this, which is the Knicks' Jalen Brunson put the team on his back and showed people why he's a top five MVP candidate this year by having a career playoff high 47 points on the road in Philly to lead his team to a victory over the 76ers. Pretty straightforward. He even gave us a mid-game update like this. Paul George is torching the Mavs right now with a career high 26 points in the first half with the Clippers in the lead to start the second.
Flammable.
So what we're going to do is predict the future by guessing what Magic Johnson will tweet.
Ooh.
The first one is if the Sixers... Oh, my God.
Wow, look at that. Hold on.
Oh,
it's called the Magic Touch. That's the name of the segment. You got to say the name of the segment.
Sorry. I was waiting for that beautiful, unhinged graphic. All right. So if the Sixers are down 3-1 against the Knicks, what is Magic going to tweet? I mean, the Sixers are down 3-1 against the Knicks.
They are down. So if they lose or they win, or are we just guessing? We don't even...
After the game, we don't know. After the game, what's he going to tweet?
He's going to tweet, Joel Embiid gave it his all. He is a warrior, but the Knicks were too much for him.
Okay. He might also tweet, also, New York City is on fire. Literally.
No, that's too witty.
Sorry. Well, no, but it wouldn't be. It would be fact. It's strictly fact. Oh,
it would be on fire. That's true, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Literally. You got to put the literally in there, Magic.
Literally.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
All right. What's next? All right. We got the Bucks. The Bucks are on the brink tonight. We've already talked about how Doc is going to blame everything else. Mm-hmm. What will happen to Dame, Doc, and Giannis if they're eliminated? Charlotte, let's dream up of a tweet that Magic will have about the Bucks offseason.
Giannis tried his best, but help me out, Amin. Help me out.
Giannis tried his best, but you know what? No, he didn't try his best. He didn't try at all because he was hurt, and that's why the Bucks were always going to be in an uphill battle.
The future is bright with Tyrese Halliburton.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know what? No, yeah. Delete all that stuff. Just go, the future is bright with Tyrese Halliburton.
Beautiful. Whoever's typing this out is doing an amazing job.
An incredible job, yeah.
Really, you could have a job in CCTV. Okay, this last one is about LeBron. In the offseason, LeBron, what is he going to do? What will Magic tweet about him?
Look, we're taping this before game five, and so we're guessing, right? But I'm going to say LeBron James is one of the greatest players to ever put on a Laker jersey.
Also,
regardless, regardless of his decision, I am happy and proud to have him in our family.
You seen that Photoshop of Anthony Edwards and MJ's faces like mashed together?
No.
Look at that.
Oh, wow.
You haven't seen that?
No, I haven't.
Wow. Our production team has some things to surprise us with for Kevin Durant. Apparently, we have no, everybody watching, we have no idea what's coming.
Why are we kicking this man when he's down, man? All right, what do we got? Is that Kyler Murray? Oh,
what?
My God. No, come on, man. That's disrespectful. Chuck? No, first of all, how do they make Chuck's face smaller than Kevin Durant's? Terrible Photoshop skills. What else?
Is that a Monstar?
Yeah.
Guys, that's not even the right angle for his face.